following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Name, and I did it again. Shh, don't talk, Blacklace. Talk now.
Yes, go ahead.
It's talk. Okay.
Yeah.
Good evening and welcome to turn six of A Worthy Opponent, a Hearthstone-based podcast. I am the ever-speaking Black Lace and walking over our music.
And I'm Autumn Spain, walking over our music.
Because he goes second.
So second's better.
Yes, better I will admit second. That. It is always better to go second. You get not only another card, but you get a token with extra mana, and that can always win the game. Although they said at BlizzCon, they did surveys and tests, and it was pretty much close. I think they thought that turn one actually won a little percentage more than turn two did.
Yeah, but they didn't mention that they were probably all being played by priests.
Oh, yes. Yes, the priests. Well, we will talk about priests later because I don't think they're going to be able to I don't think they're going to be able to resurrect one kind of ghost that I'm very sad to be seeing leaving.
Oh, yes. So we've mentioned before that Hearthstone being a Blizzard product, that's sort of the child of World of Warcraft, or one of them, that we would mention World of Warcraft. One goes hand in hand with the other. You can't really talk about Hearthstone without talking about WoW. And this week, maybe most of you have heard this already, but an icon at Blizzard, no, not Chris Metzen, but an icon at Blizzard from the World of Warcraft team, the lead systems developer, Greg Street, otherwise known as Ghostcrawler, has announced his resignation from the company to go and do newer and exciting things.
Yeah, a lot of people will know him for his blue posts all over the forum, often very controversial. posts. He definitely left a mark, and he's going to be missed.
Yeah, well, he had a really unique character. I mean, he'd be able to take abuse from the worst of them, and he'd be able to shell it out just as much without ever being unprofessional about it. And, you know, he always said that WoW has a passionate group of players, and people who get passionate get very emotional about how they post. And he eventually even started tweeting in recent months, and you know, if you checked out his Twitter feed, there'd be tons and tons of tweets out there of him answering people's questions. In fact, Reddit had an article by someone who left Blizzard and complained that every time they went to a meeting, he was too busy with his nose in the iPhone. I don't know if there's any truth to that. He was probably tweeting.
Now, obviously, I don't know how they said. Has he said where he's going, or is he just going to mysteriously vanish into the dark hole?
He hasn't said, but I did catch a tweet today where he said to somebody, and I didn't see the original question, but he said that it would be unlikely he'd be able to do another MMO after WoW. I mean, like, how do you top that?
Yeah, I guess you can burn out on the forums after many, many years. He's been with it for quite a long time.
Yeah, well, he was a marine biologist, and then he played in another MMO for 10 years. I forgot the name of it. I think it had something to do with, like, Knights of Camelot or something like that. But anyway, then he's been doing WoW for 6 years, and he's going to be missed. But I'm sure that Blizzard has plenty of good people to take his place from within.
Yeah, I know, but his name is just always... He seems to be the person that I think of when I think of the blue posts or forums. My first thought is Ghostcrawler. I don't think a single other name jumps out at me.
Well, I may have to go to Vashir and tame the crab called Ghostcrawler that's named after him.
So you can have it in game.
Well, yeah.
Speaking of leaving and going on to other jobs, I have noticed that this week Hearthstone has posted something very unique. It's pull up a chair and join us. The Hearthstone team is hiring. Yes, fellow listeners, they are actually hiring. There are 7 positions open currently for Hearthstone. They are very intense positions. User interface artist, concept texture artist, producer, live operations, software engineer for tools, for client, for server, and an engineering manager. Some of them are particularly critical positions, they say, and they have openings for all of these in the Hearthstone team. But just to let you know, there are other teams hiring. In Irvine, California, there are 160 available openings. Austin, Texas has 14. 2 in San Francisco, California. There are also positions in Europe and Asia. So you may want to check out the Blizzard Entertainment job directory. I just thought that you, as our listeners for Hearthstone, would be particularly interested in that. If you cannot find it online, by all means, send us an email, and I will happily send you the link directly so that you can look it over. They are, you know, very demanding positions, and you probably need tons and tons of schooling for it. But if you've got that ability, by all means, try applying for a Blizzard. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, this is really good news, because a couple of years ago, they laid off like 500 people, mostly customer service reps and things like that. But that was the first time they had ever announced such a massive layoff when subscriptions were dropping worldwide. And I think business is up, and with the Warlords of Draenor coming out probably within the year, they're probably looking to boost revenues again, and certainly Hearthstone can't hurt.
Yep, and you know, it still shows the ratio of Hearthstone to Warcraft. They're hiring like 175, 180 for World of Warcraft and 7 for Hearthstone. So it is a small team. But
well,
by
they have
all
15
means,
to 20 people on the team. I guess that's going to, you know, increase by 50% at least.
So yeah, so that I thought was worth mentioning, that if you've got that kind of knowledge, by all means, go to the Blizzard site. And again, if you can't find it, email us and we'll send you the link to where they have it posted. And now I'm going to talk about my irk of the week. These are bugs that we have hit us that are or are not mentioned. Yep, they're bugs.
Bugs of the week.
These things that just kind of bother us a little. My minor bug of the week, which isn't really so minor, is that my dailies don't really add up every day. If I don't play for 3 days, I expect to have... And if I, well, I, let me go back. Rewind. Thank you. Okay. If I do not finish my dailies when I play every day, they don't always add a new daily in. I had the daily where I had to win 7 games as a priest or no, warlock or mage. I played a couple games, and I've had a busy week, so I haven't been playing a lot, holiday and all. I played a couple games on, say, Friday, and right after the first game, I got my daily, which seems to be the way. If I have no dailies, I play one game, poof, my daily appears. However, the second day when I played, I still hadn't finished my first daily, only played 1 or 2 games, but a second daily did not appear. On day 3 when I played, I finished that daily, and then I got 2 dailies. So I'm not sure what's going on. They seem to be skipping days, and I haven't had a day where I've had 3 dailies sitting out there.
Well, Blacklace, did you know that the official Hearthstone forums, starting October 11th, they opened a forum thread of this very subject?
Why don't you tell me about it?
They're basically describing the exact same thing you did, and people just kept piling on, saying, this happened to me, something similar happened to me, and the thread has just gone on and on and on, and the last post to that thread was just 3 days ago, and there is no blue response in that thread. So they probably acknowledged it's a bug, but don't know any more than that.
They didn't actually say anything like they're going to be fixing it or something like that. My second bug of the week was I was playing a... Let loose the hounds!
No, no, no. They want to nerf unleash the hounds.
They do. Okay, so I was playing a person, male or female, unknown, Darkspiel. My hands go out to you. We were playing a really great arena game. I believe it was mage against mage. Maybe not. Because he or she actually cast a card that was injured, went to pull it back into her hand. Time began to run out. And when time begins to run out, it's kind of like a fuse going across of your screen. So she wanted to play the card, and excuse me, Darkspiel, if you're male, forgive me, right now you're female. She wanted to play the...
You gave that person a sex change right on the recording?
It's an expensive procedure. So, anyway, time began to run out. Wanted to recast their card, did so. As they had pulled the card back, I saw what is a constant bug, the card floating in the middle. When they went to recast it, the card floating in the middle suddenly became very bright, like glowing light. The screen then froze. Now, mind you, the one thing I didn't tell you is that I actually broke from my norm and went for arena. As I was saying last week, my favorite is always my 100 gold goes right to opening my pack. That's my goal, is to get my 100 gold to open my packs. I decided to go 150, play arena. Had already won one game. I was all excited. And I went up against Darkspiel. And once that little cord got to the bottom, the fire kept going and sizzling and sizzling. And I realized it didn't explode and give me my turn. It just sort of sat there. So I emoted to Darkspiel, hello. And Darkspiel emoted me back and said hello. And a few minutes later, I emoted, oops, and he or she emoted, sorry. Well, we had a little conversation of oopses and sorries. We didn't threaten each other, which was very pleasant. A couple hellos over the period of a half hour waiting
for
this game.
Just like a Star Trek episode of the Next Generation.
Okay, yeah. Now. So anyway, after a half hour, I stopped emoting back and forth, and I sat there and moved my mouse every 5 minutes, because as you know, if you leave a game in the middle of arena, it's a loss. I already won one. I didn't want to take a loss. 45 minutes, 50 minutes, 55 minutes, an hour. I watched an entire episode of The Good Wife. Yes, I watched The Good Wife now. Another 15 minutes, another 20 minutes. Okay, now it's an hour and a half, and I know that Darkspiel was there kind of twitching his or her mouse every few minutes too so that it wouldn't log us out. Finally, I just gave up and took my loss. It was a pleasure chatting with that person. I would have loved to have known who would have really won, because it was one of those neck and neck games. However, because of that particular bug, it froze both our screens, and it was the first person to opt out gets the loss.
Game over.
Yeah, very annoying. That and to me, in an arena, it's just so much more aggravating than if it was in a regular match.
Look at this. We have people in a chat room, and somebody got himself a beta key.
Woohoo!
Congratulations, Everweird.
Everweird. Very good to hear. It's kind of cool that you got it now, because the free beta goes in a couple of weeks, and it hasn't gone out yet, so I'm glad to hear that. Oh, and Darkrin loves the priest as a deck, yes, because the priest is the most broken, and we're going to be talking. Why don't we just go right into that?
No, let's move out of the chat room.
No, let's go talk about your love of the priest.
No, it's not my love of priest. First of all, I defended the broken priest the other day on the forums. I said, I'm glad that there are classes I don't like. It means there's variety. But I hate it so much, but nothing personal to people who play priests. But after getting my butt kicked severely by what I thought was a series of broken cards, I started reading all this criticism about my favorite class, the Hunter. And they were talking about the Unleash the Hounds and how broken it is and how you could have no minions on the board and suddenly the board is full of minions and boom, you've been stampeded. But the problem is, the Hunter deck is pretty much a one-trick pony. It's got that one big thing in its arsenal, and people think it takes no skill to play, when in reality, it takes quite a bit of skill, because you have to get to that point. You have to take a beating. You have to take damage. You have to know when to put your minions out so that you could protect against the minions that are swarming you from the other side.
Kind of reminds me of a song.
A song?
Yes. Know when to hold them. Know when to fold them.
Okay, Kenny. That's enough. They killed Kenny.
They killed Kenny!
Those bastards. Anyway, I started looking at how the priest can steamroll a hunter. And it just seems that people are being a little unfair, complaining that the hunter is so overpowered. First of all, none of the top tier players that were in the Blizzard Invitational played a hunter. So they can't be that bad, or else the top players would have been playing them. Second of all, as I started to say before you started singing Kenny Rogers, was that they have a few tricks. They have some nice combos. Some of them are pretty simple passive combos that anyone can have, like getting the wolves out to boost your minions. One trick I like to play a lot is I like to get my Starving Buzzard out, which lets you draw a card each time you summon a minion, and put my Snake Trap Secret up. And then everybody wants to kill that buzzard, so they attack the buzzard. Well, when you attack a minion, the trap goes off. So they may have attacked and just killed my buzzard, or maybe not killed it, but at least attacked it. And then pop, 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 out come three snakes. Well, with each of those snakes, I draw a card. So I get three minions and three cards, all because people don't like to see that buzzard on the table. So that's another trick they have. But there's that, and then there's the Unleash the Hounds, which enables you to give all of your minions plus one and charge. But it's a beatable deck. In fact, I've beaten people playing that exact same strategy against me. You have enough taunt creatures out there, you have enough control of the board, you take out enough of the other minions that are there in advance, and you could win. But the priest has tons and tons and tons of combinations, and they just mop up the floor. What happened to me this week is somebody calls out a soul well. I'm sorry, a light well. It's a two casting cost. It's a 0/5. 5 is quite a bit of health. You can't remove it with most direct removal spells. And it restores 3 health to a damaged or friendly character at the start of your turn. So that's a pretty nice card to have out. Well, that's not bad enough. He casts another spell that gives its health plus 5. So double a minion's health. So that's what it was. For 2 casting costs, he cast Divine Spirit, double a minion's health. So now it's up to 10. Well, then he does it again with a second Divine Spirit. Because meanwhile, he's got a Northshire Cleric out, and whenever he heals whenever a minion is healed, draw a card. So with the Light Well out, people are getting healed every turn. So I'm taking out his other minions with my direct damage, and the Light Well's not actually out that long. I said, okay, next turn I'm going to kill that Light Well. Well, I don't have the chance, because he cast Divine Spirit, doubles his health. He's now 10. Then he casts the second one, double a minion's health. Now it's 20. I think he then threw a Power Word Shield on, which gave it another 2. So now it's got 22 health. Now he casts Inner Fire for a single mana. Change a minion's attack to be equal to its health. It's now a 22-22 creature. Meanwhile, he spent a total of 8 mana to get all of this.
And mind you,
over 2 turns.
He can also do that with Lightspawn, with It was a 4/4 creature. It's now a 5/5 creature.
Mm-hmm.
That one comes out automatically. It's
health.
It's health and power are the same. So if he comes out as a 5/5 and he pumps it twice, it's a 10/10, then it's a 20/20. Put the shield on, it's now a 22/22. He doesn't even need that extra card. You've got a 22/22 creature for about 7 mana. Next turn, game over.
Yep. And that was it. He had that Light Will out for exactly 2 turns, and then boom. So, granted, the Unleash the Hounds can be done in a single turn, but unless it's endgame, when your mana crystals are full, you're not going to get that many creatures out. And if there are other creatures on the field, you're going to have to get past them if they have taunt. So, you know, I think the two strategies are equally overpowering, and other classes have similar strategies too. The Druid has something like Unleash the Hounds as well. Some kind of roar, I think. But the point is, each deck has its strong points. And the fact that the forums are filled with people trying to nerf the Hunter when the Priest is just completely overpowered just amazes me. And you remember when the Priest was garbage.
Well, here's my theory on that. Back then, not a lot of people were playing. This was, again, before the wipe. And I was looking to see whether or not Mind Control was actually nerfed or pumped. And Mind Control wasn't touched, and it wasn't a new card that was added. I think back when I was saying that the Priest was a weak class, we were all brand new. The beta was just out. People didn't have Mind Steal, didn't have these combos. Mind Control, excuse me. Didn't have these combos that could, you know, they weren't prepared yet. They hadn't tried the symbiosis between the cards yet. And it made it appear that the Priest was not that powerful. And then they pumped, you know, some cards up, decreased the mana of other cards. And what they tweaked wasn't a lot, wasn't the main cards we're talking about. But with all of these things together, the Priest suddenly rockets.
Yeah, because in addition to everything I just mentioned, they've got other tricks. They're constantly healing themselves. So if I were to just sit there hitting the Priest every turn with my steady shot, +2 damage, +2 damage, the Priest is just sitting there saying, okay, heal 2 damage. And then he'll turn around and turn himself into a Shadow Priest and start doing 2 damage.
That also that reminds me of a very funny story. When I was playing somebody, and he had done it to change his heals to damage, and then he tried to heal himself, so obviously he hurt himself for 2. And then he had the cleric who, whenever you heal somebody, you draw a card. Well, he tried to heal so that she would draw a card, and he wound up hurting another character. Finally, I wasn't even thinking, and he kept saying, oops, oops, every time he screwed up. So finally, I had a card, and I wanted to get rid of her because I don't like her special ability, and I needed to get rid of the minions on the field, so I popped her out, which killed her. Changed his direct damage back to regular damage. He wasn't able to use her anymore in that fashion, so he wasn't screwing himself up trying to do that. And he actually thanked me for it, and I was like, oops. So it's kind of funny. It can be a detriment. It can be a help. Priests also have the cards that basically if you have a creature of 3 or less, your opponent has a minion of 3 or less, boom, 1 card can kill it. And if your opponent has a minion of 5 or more, boom, 1 card kills it. So they've got a lot of the direct damage to a minion kind of card that a mage has. They also have the ability, or a hunter, they have the ability to pump the cards to ungodly proportions. And another thing I saw them do, they have the ability to steal somebody's cards. Steal cards from your mimic cards from your hand, mimic cards from your deck. It is very much like Magic the Gathering, the blue stuff.
I hate blue.
The priests have become very, very, very powerful powerful decks.
Yep,
nothing wrong with powerful decks, but Blizzard was making a point that they wanted people to have fun even when they lose. If you keep losing in the same manner to a priest, it does become unfun. I have to admit it.
And there's something psychological about the way the priests win. I think most people understand that if they get nailed with a fireball, that, okay, that mage just hit me with a fireball. Makes sense. Good
Ooh,
game.
Wait.
It's
There's
over.
The five-pointer. There's a five-point card. It does 5 damage to your opponent, and it heals you for 5 when you do it.
Yeah. It's that constant healing while you're damaging that is also a broken mechanic. But as I was saying, psychological damage is that if you get hit with a fireball, you understand, okay, magic just killed me. And if you get overrun by minions, like, okay, creatures just hit me. Or if a warrior or a rogue slashes you to pieces with their axes and daggers, like, okay, they just cut me to ribbons and I'm dead. But there's a violation of the soul and the spirit when somebody just takes everything from you and uses it against you. It's just fundamentally wrong at a visceral level, and it just, I think it's what drives people crazy against this particular mechanism, and they gotta do something to the priests to just rein them in a little bit. Or I've never been a fan of nerfing. I think rather than nerf the priest, they should leave the priest the way it is.
And buff everybody
else.
But
they need to buff everybody else. Because after they nerf the hunter, when the starving buzzard and unleash the hounds become nerfed, the hunters will have nothing left to win with.
Yep. I do want to address something Darkbrand was saying, that if you like the class in WoW, you will feel comfortable playing that class in-game in Hearthstone. I kind of disagree. And my main character is Zorsha. I have played her for years and years and years. She is a priest. She's a disciplined priest. I've tried her holy. Very often, if I'm soloing, I'll play her shadow. But, I mean, she is my main character, has and always will be. She's a priest. I don't play it in Hearthstone. I don't care for it in Hearthstone.
Well, I have to agree with her, because my two mains in World of Warcraft are the Hunter and the Warrior. And while I haven't mastered the Warrior yet, I do enjoy playing it. But the Hunter in this game is a combination of my Hunter in Warcraft and my green deck playing in Magic the Gathering. They just, together, they've mastered putting together the Hunter. I think Blizzard did a very good job of making the classes of the heroes and the spells that they have work well together. They've just overloaded the priests with ways to win, and they need to share that love with some of the other classes.
Yeah, and you know what you're tempting me to do?
Play a priest?
Yes.
Go to the dark side?
I will go to the dark side and heal you to death. I'll give it a shot. I will take this as a challenge and try to like the priest.
And then you could play against me. And I will play my hunter, and then you could just steal all my big minions from me, and then we'll get a divorce, and then, oh, wait a second, never mind.
No. Okay, moving on to other games. I just wanted to mention, I played a rogue. I was not the rogue, I was the, mage is my favorite. I played against a rogue, and just suggesting to people, like we had mentioned that Trump, was it, that didn't use taunt, learned mm-hmm. a valuable lesson.
I don't know if he learned.
I hope he learned a valuable lesson. All these different, I don't know what the word is, but the different things that you can do them for a reason. Taunt is needed for a very important reason. It stops you from being steamrolled by somebody else's minions. Someone I played against played with absolutely no minions. They were basically trying to hit me with their weapon, doubling their weapon's power, doing frequent attacks just with their weapon and with, not spells because priests don't do spells, but returning cards to my hand and basically trying to tromp all over me. I don't know, maybe one creature came out in the entire game, and the game lasted quite a few rounds. It wasn't a slow, fast game. Don't do that. You need to have a little bit of every aspect. If you try to build a rogue deck with absolutely no minions, I I would love to see you do it and actually succeed. I think it's a, I don't think it's possible. I think you need to make sure you've got your cards on the table. You need your minions out there to block, to taunt, to avoid things. You can't just try to be a rogue, like a rogue in Warcraft that's going to sneak around behind you and stabby, stabby, stabby. You do need your minions.
Well,
so that's just my suggestion.
There's a reason to play minions as a rogue, because there's some very good rogue minions, and the rogue makes use of the combo mechanic to get more bang for the buck, so to speak.
Exactly.
And some of those are minions. You know, the SI7 agent, you play him with a combo, and he does 2 damage. So there's some creature control. You play your creature down, you do 2 damage to another minion, it's not there anymore to kill your minion with or to attack you.
Now, mind you, they could have been just trying it out just to see if it would work, and I might have been the person that happened to be the one they tried it out against.
Or they may have had bad luck and not drawn any minions.
That's true, too. So I just wanted to let people know that the idea was a good one. If that was the idea behind it, it's great to try those ideas out. One of the differences in play mode and the against the UI is you can actually just test it out. But I would suggest using all your options and not trying to be so straight onto one form, because I don't think that works. Having no taunts doesn't really work. Having no minions does not really work.
Well,
so that's my suggestion.
And I would suggest that you try to get your hands on the legendary that I just got this week. It's rogue only. Edwin Van Cleef. 3 casting cost, 2/2, which is not too bad. He's a little weak, but his combo is gain +2/+2 for each card played earlier this turn. I only got to play him once, and when I played him, he was a 10/10. And I think I won the game with him.
I just got a legendary this week, too. I think the casting cost was 20 mana.
And
you only get 10. Don't ask me the name right now. I'm just remembering that I got him. He's the one that... I will tell you all next week. He's the one that for every card in your hand... No. For whatever life you have left is your mana cost. So if you're down to 3 life, you can get him out. And I think he's something like a 10/10 creature. I have to look him up. I will tell you all next week. In fact, I will do an in-depth explanation of the card next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Did you know you were so eager to have me talk about the priest that we didn't talk about our progress, which we promised to do each week?
Oh, that's true.
So... I have exciting news. Every day I go in to do my dailies, and it was a win with a warrior or a rogue. Now, I had turned off my ranked play when I'm playing new decks to try to minimize my losses, and that may have been key to me getting a higher win ratio, or maybe the MMR, that's matchmaking ratio, or rating rather, was in my favor. But once I started winning a little with the rogue, which I was only using for the daily, I flipped on to the ranked mode, and I won a couple of games. And then I finished my quest, I got another quest, win 5 games as a hunter. I'm like, oh, that's nice, let me try that. And I won either 5 straight games or 4 out of 5, and then like another 2 games, and then... suddenly, this extra star appears. I'm finally 2-star gold medal with a total of 232 wins.
That is awesome. And that just happened tonight, didn't it?
Last night. Just
last night. Very nice. And that actually made me feel better, because I know there had been a Blizzard bug where people were not getting past the 1-star.
Now, maybe the bug is fixed, or maybe there just wasn't a bug, or we'll never know, because it all takes place behind the scenes. But I did learn something interesting, because when I turned the rank play off, the total wins were still ticking up. So while it may not have counted toward my ranked play, it is still play mode. And it says play mode wins, and it doesn't say ranked play mode wins. So any game that you win in play mode, that's not the practice mode or arena mode, it counts towards your wins. And I don't know if they're gonna reset that back to zero when the new ranking system comes out, or if that will just always continue to tally.
I think it'll probably continue to tally. I hope it would, because I kind of like knowing how many wins I've had. Comparatively speaking, you and I have quite a difference in what we've been doing. I have a total of 180 wins. I have three whole beta wins. Yay! Not beta. arena wins. Three whole arena wins. But again, I've only played arena now twice, so do the math. I haven't
really
won.
I have 13 arena wins, but I don't think I'm going to be doing any more arenas for some time.
Why
not
is
until
that?
They fix the bug you just had.
Oh, yeah, that was not fun. That was not fun.
It's expensive.
Yep, and opening up my game today, I still have my win three games with any class that I activated yesterday, and a new quest has not opened up for me. So, again, I'm not sure what's going on with that bug. I'd like to see it taken care of. And I'm just to correspond with what you were talking about, I'm still one star gold.
Okay.
Okay,
so that's
now
where we stand.
The card I was talking about
is
a 20 mana cost cast 8/8 creature. It costs one less for each damage your hero has taken. Now I really need to practice and try playing with this card. Mind you, this is not even a legendary.
Oh, you said it was a legendary.
I thought it was a legendary. It's a rare.
Which He's one?
The Molten Giant is a rare. He's
yep.
So anybody, you know, it's more common. Not that it's really common, but when it says cost one less for each damage your hero has taken,
mm-hmm.
Now if you've taken damage, say you've taken 10 damage and you've healed it back.
Nope.
Okay.
Because I played with that Molten Giant and I cast a spell that healed me and suddenly the cost went up.
Well,
let's talk about the giants now that you brought them up, because they're a pretty cool class of creatures. There's three of them, and they're all epic, and they're all 8/8. And I actually had two of them at one point, and when a priest stole one, I called out the other and tried to use it to kill my other one, but she stole that one too. There's the sea giant, which has a 10 casting cost, but costs one less for each other minion on the battlefield. The casting cost is much lower than the other two because you can only have so many other minions on the table. I think it's a total of 7, isn't it?
Yes. And then there's the mountain giant.
So there can only be 6 minions if you want to play this one, otherwise
mm-hmm.
you're maxed out. So 6 from the 10.
So it's a 4 casting cost for an 8/8 creature.
If your table's full.
Correct. The Molten Giant is also, and the pictures are just straight out of Warcraft. Again, the art is absolutely incredible. The Molten Giant is a 12 casting cost, but it costs one less
no.
for each other.
Hmm? No, the Molten Giant is 20. You're talking
I
about
meant
the mountain
giant.
Giant.
Did I say mountain? I meant mountain.
Yes.
Mountain. Could be a molten mountain. But the mountain giant is a 12 casting cost, and it costs one less for each each card you have in your hand. So this is the kind of card that you want to just not play anything in your hand trying to get this one out. This would be the type that you would get as a second card draw.
So if your hand was full, then it would cost you 2 mana. Because
right.
you can only have 10 cards in your hand. But the Molten Giant, I think, is perhaps the best, because even though it's 20 casting cost, it's one less for each damage your hero has taken, as you started to say. So if you are really, really low on life, it's free.
Okay, when we have a question out here, when Hearthstone goes gold, do we keep our cards or do we... I think you mean live. Do we keep our cards or do our accounts get wiped clean and we start over? That is very controversial, and what they have said is they're not going to do any more wipes. That
they said,
one wipe,
we do not plan to do it.
Right.
Which is
and
Blizzard's way of saying, there's a chance that we might do it.
But not likely. They're saying that the cards you have now are going to be the cards you keep, and that you will be going once they go live. And they were saying 2013, but I'm not seeing any kind of dates projected. We still haven't gone beta, open beta. So I'm thinking they may be looking at early 2014.
Yeah, but I'm thinking there's not going to be another wipe, and most of the community has been pretty vocal that they don't want another wipe, because now people are starting to invest heavily in playing hard four, getting new cards, disenchanting cards to get dust to make legendaries and other cards that they want for really kick-ass decks, not to mention people's actually spending money. But if they do another wipe, you will get 100 gold for each deck of cards that you had previously gotten, and you'll get 150 gold for each $3 for each arena play you've done. So they will compensate you for every penny you spent with cards, with decks of packs of cards, to make up for your loss.
Or with gold, so that you could decide whether or not you want to spend the gold on packs or arena.
Right, that's what I meant. They're going to reimburse you the gold so that you could buy packs.
Again, that's in theory, because that's what they did with the first wipe, and they have said they're not planning on doing another wipe.
And a lot of people have said that the second time around, they got much worse cards than the first time.
I did, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I had some really nice legendaries that I kind of miss. The other thing that there are, of course, the newer players who are coming in now or will be coming in when they finally do go live are going to be at a disadvantage, because we'll all be out there with all our cards. But we won't necessarily be fighting against them because they have level to level.
Right. The matchmaking system. Yep. And that'll be even more fun when they have the new rating system, which will be before this goes completely live.
Right. And again, that's for every pack you open, whether or not you got it with gold or you got it with dollars, you're going to get reimbursed somewhat. So you won't be set back to zero if they do a reset.
Yeah, they'll never give you the cash. They'll give you the gold equivalent. So if you've been winning dailies to get gold and then you buy packs with them and then they wipe, you will get the equivalent in gold back again. In other words, all of your gold, you refunded money.
De Gord, man. Talking about De Gord, man, let's move on, man. I want to talk about the survey that went out. We mentioned it last week. There was a forum on this survey. A lot of people thought it was a hoax. A lot of people thought it was spyware. It was legitimately from Blizzard. It did not ask any kind of invasive questions. It was basically... what's your sex? What is
your age?
Your age, and then boom, what games have you played, and things of that order. So it wasn't going to ask you anything that would put any of your accounts at risk. Unfortunately,
let's go through.
Yes, let's go through.
Okay, so the first list of questions is, which of the following games have you played? And they list a bunch of Blizzard games and Magic the Gathering Online and things like that. And you click the ones you've played. Next screen. Which of the following games are you currently playing? It's a much smaller list. I'm guessing it's the ones that you checked off that you were playing already, which is why it's smaller. Then they ask you to list in order. They give you a little sliding menu where you drag over each hero class, and you put them in the order that you enjoyed the most. So I think I put Hunter, Mage, Warrior, Rogue, Shaman, Warlock, Paladin, Druid, and Priest. And so Blizzard will now get to know what we all like, which one's going to be the top, which one's going to be the bottom. And then in the next one, it asks you to put in order which of the different activities you like and in what order. And they included of the 8 opening packs, daily quests, crafting, ranked play, deck building, unranked play, strategy and theory, and arena play, which I put at the bottom.
Then they ask the question, what would you be excited about Blizzard adding to Hearthstone? And they gave a whole bunch of ideas. They gave the idea to a play again option after the battle is concluded.
Instant replay.
Instant replay.
Other games have had that. I think StarCraft allows for that.
I don't think that's what they mean by it. By a play again option. They have the record. One of the questions they have is recorded replay of the last match. So
I see,
that would
play again.
That would be your replay.
And I just came up with that idea, remember?
Yes,
just last
night.
It's
your rematch.
I said, I think you should be able to have a rematch. And they're actually
giving
that. If you're
playing somebody, yeah, I think that would be awesome because I have played some players that I had such an incredible. I mean, I don't like the games that you're pinging them. One ping, one ping, one ping until both of you are finally dead after like 790 rounds. But if you have a good game where you're going at each other and you're actually cordial in your chat and you actually, I mean, some of these are fantastic games, great players that I'd love to play again, but you can't select them again. Play again, if that's what they're talking about, to be able to say, hey, want a rematch? Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, and somebody in the chat room asks, is there a never again option where you can just never again play an asshat? And I would love that.
I would like that too, because I've actually played somebody two or three times, not three times in a row, but I've like played somebody and was like, oh my God, went to play again and that person showed up again and it took every ounce from me to just concede right then and there. There are just some people, you know, when you say hello, I'm a very cordial player. I say hello. When I start, the person says hello back. I say hello. They don't say anything. I'm like, whatever. If I say hello and you threaten me, you're dead meat. I just want to just annihilate you and leave and just be done.
This is where we bring up the ability called Squelch. Remember, if you right click on the opposing hero class, you will get a little option that says Squelch. Left click the word Squelch. They will never speak to you again.
Right.
For that game.
Right. And somebody actually brought up an emote option that I had been talking about, one that would actually say your turn. I like that idea too. But back to our survey. And the survey says,
more in-depth display of achievements and statistics. I'd love that.
Mm-hmm. We already discussed chat channels beyond the emotes. Friends list tie-in with social media, Facebook, Twitter,
yeah.
Keiko chat. I'm not sure how that
I'm not
really
so
work.
Sure I would want to tweet out every time I beat somebody.
Mm-hmm. Ability to replay the tutorial. I would love to replay the tutorial because I wouldn't mind hitting Hogger another two or three times.
Hogger.
Those were fun.
Yeah.
Or Illidan. Raids. Cooperative play versus a single powerful boss. So you have a bunch of people playing Hearthstone against one big giant boss. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, could be fun.
Paid tournaments.
Hey, you going to pay me to go into a tournament? Is that it?
That's what I thought it was, but you kind of set me straight on that.
I'll take your money to play in a tournament.
You do anyway.
I think that would be great, of course, you know, that opens up another question, and yes, observer mode, allowing you to view live battles. The two are hand in hand. I don't want to have paid tournaments if there's no observer mode, or else how do you
right.
actually run a tournament?
Additional in-depth tutorials, I don't know so much that that's what's needed. We've got a great starting tutorial. It'd be nice to replay it, and the rest you kind of learn as you go, and that's why you have our podcast, because we're trying to teach you additional things that the tutorial didn't do.
Besides, I get schooled every day by other players.
This is true. Set up multiple profiles within one Hearthstone account.
That would be cool.
Why don't you read your favorite one?
My favorite one? Let's see. The ability to reorder cards in your hand.
I still keep trying to do it. It doesn't work, but I keep trying every once in a while, hoping some sort of invisible patch happened.
That's why they put it down here on this list. I just can't see why they don't just automatically do it. But, you know, Blizzard's listened to me before. Once upon a time, I said in the forums in Blizzard for Warcraft, I said, I don't understand why your characters are not rearrangeable on the character selection screen like they are in other games. And for years and years and years, you couldn't do it. And I took a break during Cataclysm, and when I came back from that break, guess what they had?
They listen to you.
Rearrangeable characters on the screen. So I guess I just have to go to the forums and ask for the cards to be rearranged.
Because they will absolutely listen for you.
So that means this is coming. Okay. You want to talk about some of the others? Like fat channels beyond the emotes?
I think we should have maybe another 4 or 5 emotes. I don't want a chat channel. Because I don't want Baron's chat going on when I'm playing Hearthstone. And for people who don't play Warcraft, Baron's chat is the chat you just don't want to hear.
Well, I agree slightly.
I don't want people to troll me while I'm trying to play a game.
I don't want to have an open chat room as like everybody playing. Magic the Gathering Online actually has a massive chat room where everybody playing as they're talking, and you can move in and out of the channel. So I guess if it's something I could leave whenever I wanted to, I wouldn't be opposed to it being in the game if other people wanted it. But what
it depends on what they're talking about. Is it a chat channel beyond the emotes between you and that other player, or is it a chat room type thing where you can play with, talk to other Hearthstone players as
general
chat?
Well, I don't think a chat interface just for the two players in the game is a bad idea, as long as they give you the ability to turn it off. So if I'm playing,
I think they would.
If I'm playing my buddy Everweird in a game head-to-head, just the two of us, I want to be able to chat with him. Of course, we could get onto Mumble or something and chat.
And if you have him on your friends list, then you can chat that way as well.
Yeah, but that's limited and awkward.
But if it's a player that you don't know, that, again, that play again option, a player that you're really enjoying playing against, you may want to chat with him. I can understand that.
Right. You might want to chat and say, hey, you're a cool guy. Why don't we become friends, and then you could put them on your friends list and then talk to them anytime you want anyway.
The play again option, I do have a question on it, because if you do the play again option, do you get credit for it as a win? Because like in some of the, what you and I tried, and just for our listeners, I don't know if everybody knows this, if I as a mage have my quest of the day be win 2 out of 2 mage quests, and I play against Autumn's Bane, and I beat him, I don't get credit for it because he's on my friends list and I offered to play against him. I don't know if a play again mode would work that way.
Yeah, if you specifically challenge someone on your playlist, you cannot get credit for the win or for the quest. And that's just something that I think is fair. Otherwise,
but they don't want people cheating.
They cheat their way all the way to the top. They would then get their asses handed to them once they got there. But they would cheat their way.
I will be the first to admit that the reason we tried it was because I absolutely, at that time, and I no longer feel this way, but I at that time detested the shaman. And I got one of those win 7 games with a shaman or warlock and just wanted to get it over with. So we tried it just to see if me winning as a shaman would count, and it did not. So yeah, I kind of tried it myself. I admit it. I did.
Well, if we go on to the next page, they ask, how interested would you be in Blizzard setting up Hearthstone Heroes of Warcraft live or virtual tournaments? I think we just discussed that a little bit.
I would love it.
I would love it. I don't think I'd watch it much, but I'd like for the option to be there, because a lot of people, this has become a very big spectator sport. There were tons of people. That room at BlizzCon was filled to the Invitational, and there are players all over the world that are streaming their games, and people go and watch these streams. It amazes me how much people enjoy watching other people play video games.
And I have to admit again, I was one of those people who actually, during BlizzCon, I enjoyed watching the champions play each other and like listening to commentary. It was a lot of fun.
You watch the StarCraft games, and you don't even play StarCraft.
I was just wondering what we're all doing, swarming around each other. It was interesting.
Well,
it was interesting.
Next question they ask is, how interested would you be in the following paid content additions to Hearthstone? Now, there are people who say, I don't want to pay for anything. You know, I want it all for free. But here's some things that they're asking us if we want to see to pay. And if they're asking us, it means they're thinking about it. And let me ask you your opinion. What do you think about new themed battle boards?
I think it would be pretty, and it would be a change. Would I pay for a new themed battle board? I'm not sure. Now, new art for each hero class is another thing that they're talking about. I would pay for new art for a hero class. Would you play for a themed battle board?
I don't know. And they also ask about new card back artwork, and I don't think I would pay for that either.
I might. They also ask about additional in-game emotes so that you can actually buy the ability to emote something else. My question is, if I'm playing against somebody who bought it, can I see it?
Yeah, you know what? Some of these things might come as a package and then I'd buy them, but I would never pay just for the ability to emote. That's something that should be part of the free game as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. And then there's additional X slots. What are your thoughts there?
That I would pay for. I would love to be able, right now there's 9 deck slots and I have 1 character deck for each slot. But you know what? I might want to play with a pirate deck or a murloc deck in addition to my regular decks without having to go rebuild it from scratch.
Or
so,
a shadow deck instead of a holy deck.
If the price was right, if it was reasonable, I would probably pay for it because it sounds like it would be a one-time cost. You know, if it's, you know, $5 for one additional slot or 2 additional slots, I'd probably pay that at some point. But the thing that I would most love to pay for, and I would do this if we did it in Magic the Gathering for years, is I would pay for a new card set.
I would too. Absolutely.
And, you know, you wouldn't, I don't know how they'd work it. Maybe it would unlock it so that there would, when you buy cards, maybe there'd be the regular decks that they have, and then there'd be an expansion deck. Let's call it, say they called it Mists of Pandaria decks, and you just pay a price, and then it enables you to buy packs from that particular set.
Yeah,
you
could
go back and get from the basic set. That would be a way it could work.
And that's how Blizzard would start making money on this, because it is free to play. And I want to mention one other thing about this, the survey. The survey had quite a few forum feeds with, there had been a mentioned somewhere, I think it may have been a spam mail or something, that was not from Blizzard, saying that if you complete a survey, you will get the opportunity to get a mount in Warcraft or a special gift from Warcraft. There was a blue post saying, absolutely not, this was not from Blizzard. The survey was just requested for you to give information. There were people saying, well, wouldn't it be at least worth 150 gold for us to take the survey? No. We're beta testers. We're playing for free. Even if this wasn't Hearthstone, if you're in a beta, you are getting the ability to try this game before anybody else.
We
That's
already got
how
Megatork.
They're doing it. Oh,
we
yeah,
got
we
Megatork.
Got Megatork. And if you got the BlizzCon tickets, you got, you know, the Tauren Chieftains, you already are getting a benefit. To expect something for taking the survey, the reason they're asking for the survey is because they're looking for feedback as to whether or not you like what they're giving you right now.
I agree.
So there were other questions, and we can continue talking about this next week.
But the others were not really exciting questions.
Right. They're just, it starts going
like
with how
other
satisfied.
Languages.
Yep. How satisfied with us are you? Are you going to continue playing Hearthstone? But we touched upon some of the little things that may mean that they're actually thinking about doing these things. We have connection, ways to connect with us at Twitter at A Worthy Opponent, iTunes, and Autumn Spain, why don't you just, we have a very special thing to say about iTunes today.
Yes, we have our first 5-star review. It was pretty exciting. We're a new podcast, and podcasts that have been around for a while have hundreds and hundreds of reviews. And when I went into I want to apologize, there was a delay in getting turn 5 out and fact, as of this recording of turn 6, we still don't have turn 5 out because there were holidays and some personal reasons involved. That will be out very soon, of course.
Within
hopefully,
the next 24 hours,
by the time you hear this, by the time you hear this, hopefully you will have already listened to that. But I went to see if it was uploaded yet, and what do I see? But under customer ratings in iTunes, we see one customer review, and it's entitled "A Worthwhile Show," and it's got 5 stars. It's by Fiery Violet, and it was just today. It says, "Hello, Autumn's Band and Black Lace." So if Fiery Violet is listening, it's Autumn's Bane. That's probably just a typo. It says, "Thank you so much for your informative and entertaining podcast! Exclamation point. This is the best Hearthstone podcast I have ever heard." I'm sorry, let's not misquote her. "This is the best Hearthstone podcast I have heard. Thank you! Exclamation point. Violet Fire." Well, thank you, Violet Fire,
for taking the time out to do the review for us. We definitely appreciate it.
And we know people don't normally take time out of their busy days to highly rate something. They usually do more if they don't like something, but we appreciate it. And it's nice to know that we have people listening to us and that they're enjoying the show.
And Turn 5, for those of you who are in the chat room, Turn 5 is now available online. Turn 6 will be within the next week. You can find us at Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can email us at aworthyhearthstone@gmail.com. Again, if you can't find the site that shows the job openings at Blizzard and you want it, send us an email. We'll send you the link. You can see us on iTunes. You can follow us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone. So, thank you again for listening.
That's all you're going to say?
Yes, because I always screw it up and say, "Welcome to my inn," and everybody's leaving the inn, and I'm welcoming them to it. So I'll just sit here in my corner and drink.
Well, I'll just take your line and say, "Happy Hearthing, everyone.
Happy
this is all of Spain.
And this is Black Lace."
Poop, it's a poop.
Broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.